We are live. What is this, Mike? 16?
Is it 16 or 15.5 since last week was kind of...
Yeah. We'll call it 16. New studio? You want to call it a studio?
You call it whatever you want to. We got that super guest here. That's all I care about.
It's not Mike's basement.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not.
I'd call it a studio.
A studio.
Let's get on.
In the new studio outside of the garage. Can wear short sleeves in here now. And a premiere for the Top of the Dew Chain podcast, international podcast. First guest, Corey the Cop.
What's up, guys?
Corey the Entrepreneur.
Whoop, whoop.
Corey the Veteran.
Got a lot of titles there.
I know, that make me blush.
I know.
Anyway, we'll start off with a hard question. Do you like Russia?
Do I like Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They're killing it right now.
Literally.
No.
Let me see if I can.
I don't really have opinions on Russia.
All right, let's see if we can change your opinion real quick.
All right, let's do it. Starrier version of the opera scene from Fifth Element.
All right, it gets better.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
Here it comes.
Oh, look at the outfit. I can't rock that. She that far away, she had to use
binoculars. Oh, it gets better. Trust me. All right, let me show you this one.
It's no better than that fursuit right there.
No.
Sorry.
It gets better.
I'm sorry.
This is the second song.
Same guy?
Yeah, takes all the audios out of it. Just wait for it. Wait. It gets better.
All right.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
I'm in love right now.
Guy's name is Vitas. And he's a trip. Once again, I let the old YouTube keep playing after I listened to the last podcast, and that's the video that popped up afterwards. Like, if I listen to my podcast or our podcast and I listen to it to kind of like critique it and, you know, what do I need to change, hum and all that, and I don't stop it and it just takes me to the next video, those are the kind of videos that it shows.
So
I don't know what I'm putting in the tagline that it's causing like 1970s documentaries and Russian lip singers to come through.
Yeah. The algorithm thinks your podcast favors
that's
Russia.
That's kind of what I don't want. But anyway, all right, Mike. I know Corey. Related to him too by marriage.
Sorry, Corey.
So
yeah, we deal with it one day at a time.
Yeah.
So anyway, what do you got?
Well, first I'm going to bring up, what you think about the Super Bowl, Corey? Because I know one person hated Philadelphia fans so much, he dogged them on a podcast, last podcast, so bad.
So
we had technical problems.
Oh, man. So I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yes, there you go.
Race Cowboys fan.
There you go.
So I absolutely hate Philadelphia Eagles.
They got one before we got another one.
And the only thing I hate more than the Philadelphia Eagles is Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Oh.
Like, I hate the Pats. I hate the Pats with a passion.
More than the Eagles?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, yeah. Take it or leave it. They've been caught cheating multiple times. You know, and they want to say everybody in the league's doing it, but they've been caught doing it. And I can't get on board with that. I can't get on board with Tom Brady being the GOAT, even though he is. I mean, it's just, I can't stand that team up of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They're worse than the Eagles. So.
In my defense, though, I wasn't slamming the Eagles.
Okay, you're slamming the fans.
I was slamming these guys.
Yeah, right, their fans are terrible.
Yeah.
Look at this. You won the Super Bowl, Philadelphia, and this is how you act.
Act like you've been there before. Oh, you haven't been there before. There's a reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's number one. Let's give him a pass, right?
Yeah. No.
You know what's sad is that their police departments knew it was coming. Like, they put Crisco on all the poles because they knew they were going to act a fool.
I know.
Put Crisco on the poles.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah they were taking around big vats of Crisco, and they were lathering up the poles so they couldn't climb up on them. Yeah, look it up. I'm 100% serious.
That's Philadelphia, and that is what I was knocking, Mike. I actually got a text after the podcast that you and I did from my brother, because he's an Eagle fan and an Aggie fan.
I know, he screwed up. Both of them. I'm sorry. You tell him I'm sorry.
And both of them. But I will say, man, that the two or three Eagle fans I know are all right. They don't act like that. But as a city, though, that's pretty embarrassing.
I know. Didn't they, like, turn out an awning on a hotel? It was on top of that and it crashed?
I don't remember. I don't know. I'm sure they did. Here's the thing, though. The Eagles didn't win that Super Bowl as much as the Patriots lost that Super Bowl. If you really think about it, Tom Brady outplayed Nick Foles.
Yeah, but you know the score.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I thought the Eagles looked good.
But it all lands on that defense, on the Pats defense. Right. Matt Patricia on the defense. Because I've never seen one guy torch a team so bad like that number 13 guy did, and no adjustment made to cover him whatsoever.
Yeah, the defense, both defenses kind of let the ball go downfield, like, deep a lot. It kind of reminded me of the OSU-OU game this year, where it's just they were just blasting it downfield back and forth, and it looked like it was a better game than it was just because the score was run up so high. But really, there was just no defense on the other end, and it was always going to come down to one turnover.
Big 12 football.
Well, that's what happened. That's what happened here. Philly came up with the big turnover at the end. Pats 2.5 minutes left in the game had exactly what they wanted. Tom Brady with the ball, taking it into the house, and the Eagles made that one defensive play that sealed it. So the question is Nick Foles, is he a legitimate franchise quarterback?
Maybe in Arizona.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's exactly what I heard.
I think he's Jeff Hostetler.
You don't think he'll play nowhere else?
I mean, I think he'll start somewhere else. I just don't think he'll have the success that he had this year. I don't think he's Drew Brees.
No.
I don't think Philadelphia is going to trade him. I think they like that insurance thing. They got him signed.
Dude, he's not going to.
I'm just saying.
How long they have him signed for? They didn't sign him that long.
I know.
He was going to retire before Philly picked him up.
I'm just saying, it kind of sucked that, you know, you'd be a Super Bowl MVP, but you'd be riding the bench next year. Well, the team you took to the Super Bowl.
But you're not the best quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I think he knows that, too. Yeah, I mean, if you've seen his interviews, I think he's kind of aware of the fact that he was already on a great team with a great quarterback. He's just a good quarterback backing up a much better quarterback.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he knows he has that Super Bowl ring now, but he knows it's not going to be something that carries him. So.
Yeah. That's true.
What did you think of the halftime show?
I liked it. I was okay with it.
What was he wearing, man?
So what?
What was he wearing?
I
think he went to the weird part of Amazon and bought whatever he could find.
There was a meme on Reddit going around, and on, you know, one frame it had Justin Timberlake wearing that weird, like, moose suit, and on the other frame it had Bob Ross painting it.
Because
it looks like an old Bob Ross painting.
That's true. That's pretty good.
It was terrible. I like the camouflage, like, tux that he was wearing.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
The shirt was messed up, though.
Yeah. I like that. I like that politics was kind of kept out of it this year, and it's just him performing.
Yeah.
Like, in the past couple years, it always seems like there's been a much larger controversy other than the Prince tribute, which everybody's complaining about.
Prince tribute was cool. Yeah. I like what they did to the city. Did you see that?
What, it turned purple?
They made it purple, but then they threw his sign and lights around the stadium and all that. Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think they were just upset because earlier Justin Timberlake blasted Prince when he was still alive. You know, kind of peed him off. So I think that's what everybody's looking at, like, how can you go back? And he apologized.
Yeah.
Saying he was trying to go through that. So I don't knock him on it. You know, it was Minnesota, you know, Minneapolis, so Prince home, so you had to do it.
Yeah, and they said that goes all the way back. I want to say it was like 2006 or 2007. Yeah, he like accepted an award for Prince, and Prince was stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And so he kind of dug on him a little bit. But it was, to me, it wasn't anything heavy-handed.
But, people are always going to do that.
Yeah. But the fact that they have to go back that far to find some beef is just kind of ridiculous. Wait, in my opinion.
How far was this?
It's like 2006. Yeah, it's like 2007, 2006. Wow. Prince won an award at the Grammys, and Justin Timberlake accepted the award on his behalf because he presented it. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't even that good of a joke. I guess he was making fun of how short Prince is, because he kind of like bent down and looked up at the mic.
Yeah,
and that was it.
That's it.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
but there. And then they said that the. I guess Prince's estate, that Prince at one point in time said that he hated the idea of Michael Jackson's hologram. He thought it was demonic, and so they were kind of going off of that. But it was just a projection of his prior performances.
Well,
up there as a hologram.
Well, they were going to do a hologram, but they nixed it last minute for the sheet.
Gotcha.
Because of what he did in his suit. He did the same thing in his Super Bowl, had a big sheet that he did win behind, so.
Yeah, it's just people looking for controversy.
Well, okay, but
that's everything, though.
If you're a little upset at that, then are they mad at Chappelle?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Chappelle rang him through the ringers, man.
Yeah, somebody actually memed that, too, where they put Chappelle
on the sheet. Oh, that was pretty funny.
Oh, it's so funny.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You gotta love him.
So anyway, man, let's start off with the cop thing, man. Is there a quota for tickets
that you have to write?
Yeah. Ooh, good question.
Not in our department, no. There's no quota. You don't have to go out and enforce traffic if you don't want to.
Okay.
But we do track activity, and they heavily favor tickets on the activity that we have. So they want you out there enforcing traffic, which, you know, obviously I'm a cop, so my opinion kind of comes from that side of the side of the aisle. But, I mean, traffic enforcement does have a purpose. They try and focus it in areas where you have like high numbers of fatality accidents and stuff like that. You try and focus more on those areas to get people to slow down. So there's a method to it. It may not seem that way. Like speed traps are speed traps for a reason because people are driving too fast through there. Stuff like that.
Trying to get them to slow down.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on the other side too. I got 5 tickets whenever I was in high school, and I always thought the cops were being mean, but I mean, We always hate it, and we hate tickets because we don't like getting caught. So, we don't have a quota for tickets. Okay. We don't have any quotas for anything, really.
Go ahead, Mike.
Do you have over speed? You know, is there a limit? Like, well, I'm not going to give you a ticket if you're doing like 4 miles over the 25 or.
I would say the standard across the board is normally 10 miles an hour, but it depends. Like, you know, they may not give you anything. They have, you know, no tolerance zones, or no tolerance policies. You know, schools, it's probably going to be lower than that. If you're speeding in a school zone, it's probably
going to
be
like 4 or 5. Yeah.
Like me, if I'm on the highway, normally I'm looking for 15 and above, sometimes 20, you know, because
20?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, because, I mean, let's be honest.
Dude, that's 90 in some areas.
Yeah, I know, but like on like Broadway Extension is one we patrol a lot. You know, just a local highway.
Okay.
It's 60 miles an hour through there.
Okay.
Honestly, it should be 70.
Okay.
It should be 70 miles an hour. Most people drive 80. So if everybody in the traffic is driving 80 miles an hour, like, are you just going to go pick out a random one, or are you going to find that guy that thinks he can go faster than the 80 that everybody's already doing? That's the way I kind of look at it.
Right.
Okay.
Because then you're just driving maliciously. Like,
okay, I see that.
I mean, you can go, you know, South Texas, there's turnpikes that are, what, 80 miles an hour?
85.
85, yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, it's ridiculous to limit it to 60 miles an hour, but again, they track statistics, so they know what's safer, and they know what those speed limits should be. It's not just randomly assigned.
Okay.
Roads are better in Texas.
I don't know. Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Haven't been in Fort Worth in a long time, maybe.
I got lost on the turnpike last time I was going to Houston. I took a wrong turn and ended up going 2 hours in the wrong direction and ended up on a turnpike I didn't even know existed. But the speed limit was 85 miles an hour, so I made up the majority of that time. But
so when you're on a Broadway Extension or like this strip of 35 to go into Moore and Norman, do you guys is the left lane enforced on that thing, or is this pretty much in a rural area after you get out of the cities?
Well, I recently haven't been on the street, so I haven't been able to really have the opportunity to enforce that law yet because that's still fairly new. Okay. But I mean, I don't know if it's being heavily enforced.
Needs to be heavily enforced.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're going slow, you need to get out.
I mean, this is the only place I've ever seen an 18-wheeler get in the middle lane to pass somebody in the left.
Yeah, we need HOV lanes too in the city.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh yeah, the infrastructure here is definitely 20 years behind everyone else, but
it's not big as the other cities though. I'm talking about people complain about the traffic, but you know, Dallas, Atlanta, Houston. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well,
we're just traveling south through Denton, trying to get to Dallas. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be stuck in Denton for 3 hours.
No.
Yeah, it's definitely not bad in comparison, but go the speed limit. What? Here's my thing. Why do people drive with the purpose of making you angry? You know what I mean? Like if you're behind somebody on the highway in the middle lane and you are passing someone in the left-hand lane, those people will speed up with the intent of pinning you in for no reason. No reason, or they'll speed up as you get on. I mean, it's like whatever they do, they're doing it just to make your day just a little bit worse.
Maybe it's just you, man. Maybe you're just an angry person. They're okay.
Yeah.
I am.
I don't know. I think everybody does that to some degree. Like, if I'm going the speed limit, and somebody gets around like they're going to pass me, sometimes I might speed up a little bit. And
it's
be
competition.
Like,
it's competition.
I'm doing what you're supposed to do, and he's trying to break the law.
I know.
I'm a good Samaritan in that instance. I'm trying to keep him from committing a crime.
Well, no, but the thing is, have you ever seen, you remember, I don't know if you remember watching the Disney Channel back in the day when Goofy was like this.
You was watching Disney Channel?
Yeah. Okay. But like Goofy's like this, like no care in the world kind of guy as he walks out to his car. And then once he gets in his car, like he turns into Jekyll, right? Just gets all angry and all that. That's me in the car. Like I hate being in the car with a passion. And so, and I don't know, and I keep telling my wife this, that I can drive just fine anywhere except here. It's almost as soon as I cross the state line, it's like I just get angry, and I don't know why.
Dang, dang, dang.
I don't know why.
You just hate everybody, man.
It's that crazy Texas attitude, man.
I think it is.
It's all love over here.
Well, here's the thing, though. In all seriousness, though, in Texas, though, 10 miles over the speed limit is like this. So if it's 40, everyone's expected to go 50, except the old people. You know, here, it's 5 miles or under. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. You're probably right. It probably is just some sort of...
You just hate.
I'm there with you.
I'm there with you. Hey, but have you guys been enforcing the cell phone rules? You know, because how do you really enforce it? Is it like a secondary crime, or have you guys see them light up or something?
I mean, I work night shift, so it's a lot easier
okay
for me. And, you know, I have buddies that work day shift that say, I can see seatbelts, I can see cell phones, I can see all that stuff. I don't. But at night, it's easy because, I mean, obviously, if the front cap of somebody's car is glowing in their face and they're swerving all over the road like a drunk driver would be, and you get up beside them, you see a cell phone in their hand, I mean, you'd be perfectly fine to make that stop, you know, write the ticket, but... You know, it's one of those things where, again, it's not something I've written a ticket for a lot. You know, the majority of my tickets are, you know, drunk driving and speeding, running stop signs. Your basic ones, your basic, you know, very obvious infractions, traffic infractions. So,
cool.
Yeah. The newer laws, I mean, it might take a while before they start, you know, getting cops out there to go and enforce them. Okay. Just because they're not used to it. It's something new.
Yeah, my big question, I've been waiting to ask you this forever.
Uh-oh.
Guns. How do you approach it? Okay, you're in a car.
Yep.
Like Josh, you know, you get angry and stuff, and you know, somebody cut you. I mean, and I saw this on the news. Maybe it was like 2 years ago, and I guess a guy flashed it. Somebody, I guess, motorcycle came knocking on his window. You know, mad at him while he was driving down the road, and he flashed his gun. Is that like illegal because he brandished his gun? You know, even though I don't know if you can feel you threatened. You know, he's on a motorcycle, you're in a car, but you know, someone coming.
The guy was on the motorcycle?
Yeah. Was knocking on your window, and, you know, the guy in the car brandished his gun. Like, hey, man, you know, hey, you know, get back. So.
Like he's pointing a gun at me.
No. Okay. He just brandishing it. You know, okay, say the guy in the car brandishing, not the guy on a motorcycle. The guy on a motorcycle knocking on his.
So police officer's knocking on the door. Guy shows him his gun. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Is he, like, when you say brandish, is it like, hey, I have a gun?
Yeah. Yeah, just like that. You know.
I mean, you're going to have to read that situation. I mean, it kind of sounds like in that situation, it's a guy just saying, hey, just so you know, I have a gun on me.
Okay.
Versus, hey, I have a gun on me. Like, you know. Yeah, yeah. You know, unfortunately, common sense isn't around in abundance.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially in the gun owner, like the gun owners community, you know, I would like to say that 90% of people know how to treat a firearm. Yeah. The other 10% don't. I don't. Of course, I'm just pulling that out of a hat.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you have people that do goofy things with guns that get them in trouble and get them hurt.
Because I do, you know, I do feel sorry for you guys because you know you got a split second decision to see,
right,
or stand alive for,
right,
your family.
And, you
stuff,
know,
I've never
been in that situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in a situation where, you know, a guy was intoxicated. We went out on a domestic in a vehicle, mm-hmm. and he steps outside the vehicle, and the guy's obviously intoxicated. He's on private property. Mm-hmm. He turns around, opens up the glove compartment, and
ooh!
The gun's right there, and he starts reaching for it.
Oh, man.
He wasn't reaching for it. You know, fortunately, you know, I was able to intervene before he got it, but
yeah.
he wasn't reaching for it to try and shoot anybody. He was reaching for it to say, hey, I have a concealed carry, but he was drunk and doing something dumb.
Yeah.
Now, if he would have gotten his hand on the gun, would we have been justified? Yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
We would have been.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you have to be able to read that situation. Being a veteran from the infantry and being in combat and stuff like that,
yeah.
those situations are a little bit less stressful for me. But some of these guys that you get, you know, out of college, it's totally different. They've never experienced anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something that I've seen, not necessarily on our department, because our department's actually, I think we're like top five in the nation.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. We have like I want to say we're in the 90s as far as our approval rating goes in the state,
okay.
or in the city. But other departments are struggling to hire people. So you go from, you know, having a, you know, being a police officer, like being like a job that people want to have because it's a good career, you know,
mm-hmm.
good pay, and, you know, your job security is pretty, I mean, it's secure.
Yeah.
You know, but you run people off with all these controversies, you know, and the news is always going to play that up.
Oh, they're
always going to make us look way worse than we actually are.
Yeah.
And so those, you know, higher level intelligent people that have good decision making skills, veterans, stuff like that, you know, that want to come in and do it, might, you know, be pushed away into something else, like maybe firefighting or just any other job in the civilian sector. So then you start, you know, your standards start to drop, you know, as a result. I don't know if that's why we see this increase or if it's just the news, you know, portraying us as like this more trigger happy, you know, type of thing. But
well, just like I was telling Josh, you know, there's bad people everywhere in the world. And I'm sure, you know, like you say, standards drop, you know, you probably got some bad ones. You're like, man.
Yeah.
You know, and then they do something stupid and make all you guys look bad and then you're
right.
You've been a longtime cop, you know, this new person come in, probably got attitude already now. He's got a badge and a gun, you know, and I just want to say it from on my side, you know.
Dude, it's not an NWA song.
Huh? No.
Let's start breaking it out.
I'm just saying. I grew up around cops, you know, when I grew up and stuff, so I kind of know them, but I did know some cops that let that badge get to the head, and you know, and it's not
okay.
The
I know,
dog.
I know
guys.
Him too.
Okay,
yeah,
and it's crazy on that. So you know, I believe in that blue line. You know, I'm gonna get the flag with the blue line in. I think you guys are doing a great job, but you know, and I hate to see when the media, you know, get you guys going and put a shine on that because you know, basically they are, you know, media keeps showing it. Little kids gonna see like, oh, you know, you can't trust a cop. Cop is out to kill me. You know, because
right.
you start to think that it's like
yeah.
they got I'm a target, but
yeah, and we're and you know cops are an easy target too, especially
yeah.
for the media
yeah.
because our job is only dealing with bad people, possibly violent people, a lot
yeah.
of mental health care patients,
yeah. Yeah.
and we show up with no idea what's going on
yeah.
because what the call taker puts on the call may be absolutely wrong. It could say, hey, married couple having an argument. You show up and it's an active shooter. We had something similar just a few weeks ago. So we're an easy target because it's real easy to make a wrong
yeah.
split second decision.
Yeah.
I mean, and that goes for every career out there.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
there's
yeah.
going to be people that make mistakes that cost lives, but that's just kind of, that's what comes with the job because that's the decision that we're paid to go out there and make
mm-hmm.
is, you know, whether or not to use lethal force in that split second situation. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has to deal with that.
Nope.
I mean, in the very uncommon event that like somebody breaks into your house as a citizen, you know, obviously you can defend yourself.
Yeah.
That's an easier decision though. We have to go, you know, to the problem and try and solve it. And, it's, it's not super easy to screw up those situations, but, you know, when the stress level goes up to level 1,000, you know, when somebody's pointing a gun or reaching for a gun or what you perceive to be a gun, then, you know, it's a totally different story.
Okay.
Speaking of reflexes, have y'all seen this? You know who Larry Nassar is?
The USA gymnastics guy.
Gymnastics doctor, yeah. Michigan State.
Yeah, that's not him.
No.
Okay.
This is a dad of three girls that were molested by Larry Nassar, which I don't know how many counts. He got whatever, three counts. Anyway, this gentleman asked the judge if part of his sentence, because he got, like I said, three consecutive life sentences. He's never getting out of jail.
No.
Asked him if part of his sentence, could he have 5 minutes in a room, locked room with Larry Nassar? And the judge, you know, kind of chuckles, but she's like, sir, I can't do that. And then he says, 1 minute. Can I have just 1 minute in a room with this guy? And she goes, sir, you know I can't do that. And right here, he says, where we're at, he says, well, I'm going to take it right now then. And that's what she's telling him. There he goes. And so he actually goes to attack the dude in the courtroom. And old bald dude right there, to me, was just a little too quick. You know what I mean?
Is that an opinion?
that's an opinion. I think he was just a little too fast on the draw with that tackle. So my question is, and we looked at Mike and I think it was Mike, we talked about the superintendent who had a lady kicked out and the cop had to take her out.
Yeah, I saw that one.
So my question is do you have any leeway in situations like, obviously like this, what would happen to you as a cop? What would happen to you if you were just a couple steps slower? Just one punch. You were just slow enough to where he could get one punch in before you took him to the ground.
I mean, is it obvious that I'm allowing him to do that?
No. Obviously, the camera angle is terrible, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we as dads, obviously, we want to see him knock that guy out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, legally, of course, he can't do it. Yeah. That guy's just there doing his job, and he did it right.
Right. No, I get
but
it.
But would he have gotten in trouble? No.
If one punch?
No. Now, if he went up there and just crossed his arms and pushed people back so he could just beat the crap out of them, then, yeah, he's probably going to get reprimanded.
Now, what happens to the dad here?
What happens? Have you seen the rest of it?
No.
Oh, he comes back and he apologizes to the judge.
Well, I get that, and he left. I get, what happens to him as far as criminal? I mean,
he would probably be cuffed and taken out of there. I think what happened is they ended up taking him out of there, and they ended up meeting in the. I read about it. I think they met with the judge, and they decided that she would have to hold him in contempt, essentially, I guess, in order to put him in jail.
But it's up to the judge.
Yeah. Like, nobody's. I don't think anybody's going to file because there was actually no assault.
Right. Just an attempt. Okay, so it's the judge's call then.
Yeah,
so
it would just be like. It would be something in the realm of, like, disorderly conduct.
Right.
Yeah, disorderly conduct or
all right, now,
just being in contempt of court.
Now, if you are working for the school board, like in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And
he was in a hard position. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. The guy asked you to escort, but she has no reason to be escorted. She really was asked to leave because she asked a hard question.
Right. So it's hard to say because we don't have all the facts as to what the setup of that meeting was. Was it private? Was it public? I believe it was public.
I think it was
because
public.
It's addressing stuff with the public schools. So I think anybody
would
be there.
I mean, we don't even have to look at that particular situation. It's just it raised the question between Mike and I is there any leeway as far as a cop's decision making goes where if that employer, that school board, we use the school board guy, were to make you do something that wasn't right for whatever reason, is there anything you can do? Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, you never have to follow an unlawful order as a human being.
Okay.
Like that's true of the military and the police force.
Right. I get that, but an opinion-wise.
Yeah, what you have to, what comes into question is whether or not it was lawful or unlawful. Disorderly conduct is an arrestable offense. So if you're disrupting a public assembly, at some point, yes,
you know, right, you can, I think you that's what they said,
and that's all it would have been. And then if she was, you know, jerking around trying not to be arrested or escorted out,
well, that's what ended
then,
up happening.
Then you know what he did, and it, you know, they said he slammed her. He didn't slam her. She flopped onto the ground. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. Like, yeah. It wasn't a slam. Like,
I'm not knocking the cop at all. Like
right.
I said,
and it's situations like that sometimes come up where it's just a ridiculous, you know.
Well, those got to be the situations that suck.
Well, you know, and I've worked for private businesses, like for overtime jobs and stuff, and they'll ask you to say, hey, you know, this person's drunk, they need to go.
Okay,
this person's causing a disturbance. You know, I'll go up and I'll talk to them. If that person, like, if I witness it and it seems like it's kind of ridiculous for that business owner to be asking them to leave,
right.
I might be like, are you sure you're talking about this guy? You know, he said he's going to be cool. Are you cool with him staying? And if he still says no, then I'll absolutely remove the guy. But sometimes you have to use your discretion as an officer to diffuse a situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's probably the biggest part of our job is having that verbal judo to where you can diffuse a situation. Because if you're a hothead and you go into a situation where everybody's got a hothead and everybody's screaming at each other and they're at level, you know, 900, you come in at a level 1,000, you're going to lose control of that situation.
Yeah.
Like, you have to come in, talk like I'm talking right now, and be like, hey, you know, there's no point in yelling at me. You know, I'm just showing up. Just tell me what I can do to help you.
Yep.
And people just, you know, that attitude will just plummet because they want to have a conversation because they want to get their point across.
Yeah.
And you have to separate them. You just separate them, talk to one party, talk to the other party, and 9 times out of 10, no issues. Nobody goes to jail. Everybody just makes a good decision to be an adult, go their separate ways. But, you know, there's always going to be stuff like that. That's kind of, as a police officer, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
So, that's
where is she being disorderly? Yeah. At some point, you know, at public assemblies, if they have a format where you have a certain amount of time, you're going over that time, you know, I guess it could be considered to be disorderly. And that state may have different laws, and that city might have different laws on top of that. So, you know, without being there, without seeing the whole thing, because all we saw was a clip.
Oh, yeah.
No, you know, I don't think the officer was in the wrong. I don't necessarily think the lady was in the wrong.
Yeah.
I think they both had, you know, I think they both did what they thought was right.
But there is a little bit of leeway as far as your judgment goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I mean, we, you know, officer's discretion is a huge part of our job.
Because that's a terrible situation to be in. Because I bet that dude was like, yeah, man. How did you give yourself a $38,000
pay raise? Any teacher?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's scummy.
I bet he didn't get a raise either.
Yeah, but you know, we get tasked out to, you know, go and protect politicians that we don't necessarily like. I mean, you talk to Secret Service guys, you know, half of them don't like their job.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't even know if they make as much money as we do here in the city. And they have to fly out all over the place, and they come back to a caseload because, you know, they deal with counterfeit and all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
I mean, but you look past all that, and you realize it's a job. It's not who you are. It's not representative of who you are. It's just your job. You need to go out there and do it well, regardless of, you know, who you're protecting, who you're working for. I mean, because on the side of town where I work, I mean, most people have a record. Especially, I work late at night, so most of the people that I deal with, you know, have a record. They may not be the nicest people in the world, but they still get the same service that anybody else would get.
Yeah.
You know, because as a human being, that's what they deserve. As an American citizen, that's what they're guaranteed. So, But yeah, discretion is a big deal, but you're always going to be, you know, presented every once in a while with a situation like that. We're in between a rock and a hard place.
So how do you think if Oklahoma was to pass this, you know, I ain't saying recreation, but medical marijuana, who do you think is going to affect, you know, your job more?
They've already made, like, a lot of drug charges. They've dropped them to misdemeanors.
Okay.
Which I think, to a degree, is a bad thing. You know, marijuana was a misdemeanor unless you violated that same statute a couple times.
Okay.
But, like, these Schedule I drugs, like, you know, PCP and, you know, meth and all those other things.
Those are misdemeanors?
Yeah, they're misdemeanors now.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sweet.
Yeah. Pretty much possession of CDS. I mean, if you're not if you don't have trafficking weight or you don't have possession with the intent to distribute, I mean, it's going to be a misdemeanor.
So you just pretty much write them a ticket on the spot?
So you get what?
It's still arrestable. It's just not a felony anymore.
Okay.
So you get a felony after what, 3 charges?
See, I want to say it's twice. If you do the state charge twice, I want to say it's a felony, but it could be 3 times. I'd have to read that statute again. Like I said, I've been out of the loop for a while. and all those laws changed while I've been down.
So. I mean, I could see like weed being like that, but I find it hard to believe that like meth and PCP and all that's like not a felony charge.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
That's kind of a serious drug.
Yeah. And
let's talk weed though. Are people who smoke weed pretty chill?
Yeah, for the most part.
Because I mean, alcohol you can get belligerent, and I know they say PCP and.
Well, there are people that get belligerent when they smoke weed too.
Do they?
Yeah, it affects people differently. I want to say they did research and it was people who drive while they're high.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah,
drive more aggressively. And then people, when they're drunk, they drive slower, but they have less control.
Josh, aggressively?
Yeah.
I wish.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, marijuana is pretty prevalent, you know, where I work.
Right.
Some people have the opinion, you know, yeah, we still need to enforce it like it's a drug and it's a super, super bad thing. You know, it depends on the amount.
Would it make your job easier?
If it just went away,
if it was legal, like California, Colorado.
I don't think it actually changes too much.
Oh, really? I mean, you can let it. You catch a guy with some sticky in the glove compartment. You can. Hey, man, just get out of here.
I'm not gonna say that does or doesn't happen, but like I said, officer's discretion is always there.
Okay.
So it depends on, you know, people's attitudes towards you.
So really, it's
or
more
what
about
or what your situation is for coming in contact with that person.
Yeah.
Okay. So a guy, you pull a guy over, he's got a trunk full of weed.
Yeah, he's going to jail.
And he's taking it.
Yeah.
But no. Right now. But if they were to change the laws like Colorado, and he say, I'm taking it to my hash store downtown. Does that just make it easier for you, or?
Well, do you have a distributor license and you know?
That's what I'm saying. Do you have to?
In this hypothetical situation, is weed legal in Oklahoma?
Yeah, like let's say it's Colorado or California recreational use.
Because I'm not familiar. I'm not super familiar with all their laws.
I'm not either.
I honestly don't think it would make my job easier or harder. Okay. Yeah, because you know a lot of times what you're looking for is those Schedule I drugs. Looking for, you know, LSD, yeah, you're looking for meth, cocaine, you know, that stuff. I mean, weed's so prevalent. Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal to find it. You want to find the hardcore stuff,
right?
Yeah, I don't think it changes my job too much.
Is there a big like drug ring in Oklahoma, or is this just kind of a place people like big time distributor? Because San Antonio was a big like. You had the Mexican Mafia kind of operating out there, so you had a legitimate distribution from Colombia through Mexico.
I mean, so we have a lot of gangs and a lot of drug dealers. I mean, every city does.
Drug dealers.
I would say Oklahoma is probably better than most. Yeah.
Right, so you're not going to...
Drugs come through Oklahoma City because...
You got the crossroads.
I-35 and I-40 across entire United States.
Right.
So, you know, we have a group of guys that's all they specialize in is running these highways. And they get some massive loads.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean they're coming into Oklahoma. They're just going through.
Right.
But.
Okay. So you don't have that. So it's not really, you know, get the drug dealer to get his distributor to take out the big warehouse full of drugs.
Yeah. Right. I don't think those guys are here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say those guys are probably in Texas.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they are.
I had a buddy in high school, he played third base for us on the baseball team. He was in my art class, but he didn't show up to art. He and I worked out quite, you know, if we saw each other at the gym, we'd work out together. And my sister played softball with his little sister. But he, like one day just quit, like we didn't see him at school. And for like a week straight, thought he was sick or thought he might have, cause he got suspended quite a bit and all that. So we thought, anyway, girl, comes in crying. She was a friend. She was a better friend of his. Comes in crying. Comes to find out he was dealing drugs. And he went from like just a street corner drug dealer to a kind of a big time distributor where he actually dealt with Mexican Mafia guys to get the bulk. And then he distributed it out to drug dealers. Anyway, came up short on some of his cash. And they found him in a dumpster with a bullet hole in his knee, a bullet hole in his stomach, and a couple in the back of his head, I think. That's at least what the rumor was. He died. I know that. I know he was shot and killed by execution style by the Mexican Mafia. I don't know how they went out, but Anyway, he got tied up with the distributors, guys, so that's why I'm asking. But it was kind of surreal, you know, as a 17-year-old kid to know that someone your age just went out like that. Because that's what you see in the movies, or you hear the DARE officer talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and then you kind of find out that the guy you saw a week before, that's where he was.
So when you guys do have those big traffic busts, is it because he did something stupid? Because, you know, it's like, man, you guys are, you know, like, you know, tips or something. Because you guys are on it.
Yeah.
I have to say, Oklahoma City is on it, catching these
well, it's a joint task force. Okay. So there's a lot of information getting dumped in there that they're going off of. It's not just like Oklahoma City by themselves. I don't know how high it goes or how wide it goes. But, no, they're well informed. And they're good officers. Like, they kill it. They do it. it seems like they're getting something every week.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, wow. I was like, you know, are you that dumb, I guess, stupid criminal who drove their lights off, broken tail lights, you know, tags missing and, you know, crazy stuff like that. Just like, wow.
Yep. I mean, so here's the thing. Traffic, a lot of times, you don't run traffic because you want to go out there and write traffic tickets. You're looking for something else. You know, you're looking for a suspicious activity. And then the traffic, you know, stop is just your method of, you know, getting in contact with that person.
Okay.
So there, I mean, you could look at how many citations Oklahoma City has. I mean, technically, if you have aftermarket exhaust, I can pull you over.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have speakers that I can hear outside your car, you can get pulled over. So if the little bulb above your tag goes out, you can get pulled over. So if you really wanted to find something, you can find something. It. Yeah, and it's not necessarily done to be malicious. It's just you're going out there trying to clean up the stuff that's going on there between the hours of like 9:30 and 2.
Yeah.
Which is always bad. You know? That's our busiest time frame. So you're just kind of monitoring your community.
Mm-mm. So what's what's the scariest thing that you don't went through that you was like, man, you know, you might make a life and death decision either on that person or you. You know, what's the scariest thing that probably happened to you?
Man, I honestly don't think I've been scared since I've been on the police department. I think all my scary things happened
in military.
But between the age of 18 and 22, and it kind of broke me from being like afraid of that whole live or die situation. Because I mean, I've been in fights, you know, in the middle of the street, just going at it with some guy who's high on PCP, and at no point in time do I remember being scared. Okay. Like, you just focus on the fight. I think adrenaline kind of cuts all that out too, but. Yeah.
What's the funniest thing? Is there
the funniest thing that's ever happened to me?
Yeah.
Oh man.
God, had to be some stupid criminals or something. You like, really?
I know that one time. Who was it? Austin was telling me he did a ride along with you, and they asked him. Y'all had someone in the back of the car, and it wasn't you. It was one of your buddies. Asked him what you should do, and he's like, let her off. And Austin said this cop made her thank him for letting him off, and she's lipping through the window thank you to Austin as he's going. Which that had me laughing.
Yeah, I don't know who that would have been, but yeah, no, man, there's so many funny things that happen because honestly, you know, when they're not being belligerent, people are funny. When they're drunk and when they're high, you know, when they're on the upside, when they're on the downside, it's pretty bad, especially, you know, PCP when they're up, it's bad. But I mean, like we had one guy, he was drunk one night inside a store, and my buddy went to do a field sobriety test on him, and, you know, puts the finger up in front of his eye, tells him to, you know, follow it. And he goes like real slowly to the side, and the guy just follows it with his body.
No.
And just falls over and takes out their entire magazine stand. Like that was pretty funny. That's probably one of the funnier things I've seen. But cool. I mean, you get people falling over drunk all the time, or falling into their cars, or just goofy stuff that people do. I mean, we do goofy stuff too. My buddy got on the radio one night. We have all wheel drive vehicles that stay in the pool, and then we have front wheel drive vehicles. Well, it was snowing really bad, and he gets on the radio. There was a call way out east of the city, and he gets on the radio. He's like, hey man, don't worry about that call. I got all wheel drive. It'll be safer for me to make it out there. I kid you not. 5 seconds goes by and he calls for a record because he slid off the road through a fence.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. So he's like, no guys, I got this. And then didn't have it. But yeah, I mean, there's a million stories like that. Yeah. It's something every few days.
Yeah. Cause I have been noticing though, watching the news and as a news thing, though, and I'm sure they just start glaring. You guys have been starting to do a lot of chases. There's been a lot of police chases, like, on the rise. For some reason, I don't know if they didn't just never played them a lot, but now it's like every time I turn on, you guys are
going at some people. It comes and goes in phases. Okay. Sometimes we'll get in a lot. Sometimes there won't be any for a couple days. I mean, normally there's at least one every other day, I would say.
I just can't
believe. Not all of them get televised.
So I just can't believe they run. I'm sure they run for some stupid reason. You're like, why do you, I'm just pulling over for some simple
Well, we've had people run for everything from, you know, we caught him right at the end of an armed robbery to a guy said he just didn't care. Like, didn't even have any little city warrants for, you know, an outstanding ticket, nothing. He's like, nah, I just don't care. Okay.
Dang.
Good enough for me.
All right.
Let's go to jail.
That's cool.
Mike, you going to go watch the new Black Panther movie?
That's out tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. Someone gave it a bad review.
I haven't heard no reviews on it. And well, really,
it was 100 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is supposedly pretty good.
Yeah, I heard some people were saying it's one of the better Marvel movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any cameos in this one?
I know, because usually they put a cameo in there to bring a new character out, right? Because he came out when Avengers, the last one.
I don't think they're introducing any new characters in this that aren't just like self-contained within the movie.
Are they bringing anyone in, though?
Because Well, I guess the main bad guy, whatever his name is, Gold Jaguar, whatever.
Killmonger.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, that guy.
But it doesn't look like, because you know, like Spider-Man, you had Iron Man throughout the entire movie, and then.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be some of that. I would imagine it's probably.
It don't look like any of the.
Yeah, well, sometimes they're uncredited though.
Stan Lee will though.
Yeah, Stan Lee will probably. Stan Lee probably won't. He may not be in many more for long. He went to the hospital recently.
Yeah, I heard that.
I
think he's about to die.
Yeah, he's old.
What?
But I don't know. Because Captain America is supposed to be hanging out there. Depending on when these events take place.
True.
Yeah. He should be there. Bucky Barnes should be there, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, these are after the Civil War.
Yeah, so they should be out there.
I know, so Disney is milking Marvel and Lucasfilms to death.
Why not, though? There.
They really, I mean, but if you think about it, though, Marvel's only hasn't had too many hiccups. I mean, the Thor movies I thought were kind of bland, but
this past one was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, both of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are great.
Yeah.
Dude, the second one's hilarious.
Yeah,
like I've never laughed. Like
a lot of people hated the second one.
Really?
I thought it was the best one. I liked it better than the first.
Me too.
And a lot of people think the first one's the best Marvel movie.
Really?
I still think Winter Soldier is the best Marvel movie so far. Mm. I think because it's darker and it's a lot better written throughout. Yeah. It has a more solid, you know.
I like the second Iron Man. Once they got what's his name out of there.
I didn't like this. I didn't like the second or third Iron Man very much. First one is still probably one of the better ones.
Yeah, first one's good. And I think the first one is what started this whole Marvel thing. Because I think people were kind of like, yeah, we'll go see this Iron Man. And it was so good. That then the Avengers came out and the Hulk was cool and all that. So, and I think, like I said, I think the Black Panther thing's cool. Yeah. The other thing I think Marvel's doing very well is they're putting all these little time, like the lesser known guys, like the Punisher and Daredevil and all that on Netflix. Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and all that. Yeah. And they're letting those stories develop as well. So, I mean, you're just getting this onslaught of Marvel that in the past you wouldn't get. And in the past, you'd have to do a movie on Daredevil like they did with Ben Affleck, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have, because you do, because the thing is like when you do a Captain America or you do a Spider-Man or something like that, people know these guys. I mean, the average fan knows at least who Spider-Man was and kind of has an idea of what happened to Spider-Man. Therefore, you don't have to lay all this intro work in the movie when you pick it up because Venom's coming out too now.
Yeah. Did you see the trailer for Venom?
Not yet.
No, it's awful.
It's
just a terrible trailer.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, I think it'll be good. I don't think I haven't seen too many movies outside of that, like that chick flick with Chris Pine and brain farting. Who's the guy playing Venom?
Oh, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Yeah, the one where they're like fighting over the girl. Have you seen that one?
No, I've seen Warrior.
I've seen all his other movies are good.
I'm just saying, I watched the movies where he's a man.
Yeah.
Like, plays a man's type character.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Like Bronson.
Yeah. You know, but not like.
Just beating everybody.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Tom Hardy should be doing.
Yeah. Well, how many times can they reboot Spider-Man?
Well, they did it right this time.
Yeah, I think if they stick with this, the other times, I think the reason why it was so weak is there was just the cinematic universe wasn't there to support it. So you could have had a good, I thought the first Spider-Man movie was perfectly fine.
Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was perfectly fine, but then there was just nothing to support it to keep it going like the Avengers, and then you had another one that wasn't quite that good, so it gets weak, and then you have another one that wasn't good, so it's dead. Whereas now you have the first Thor movie, which was terrible. You had the second Thor movie, which was terrible. But then it still has enough money coming from the entire universe and all the storyline that connects with it to keep people interested. And then the third one's great. So
yeah, I should think the third
one. You know, it was trying to support all of Marvel by itself. But
dude, what's his name dancing in the third one? The third Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire dancing down the street.
Yeah,
get out. I mean, that movie.
Right, but it was terrible. I get.
Yeah,
that.
That's all I'm saying. It's.
But they had to. It had to continue its own story. It didn't have the help of an entire cinematic universe.
Right, but dude, you don't run out of it. You don't ever run out of story to put that kind of garbage on the screen.
Well, Sam Raimi would disagree with you.
Yeah.
Hands down. When I look around, watching it by myself, and I still look around the room, wondering if I saw what I just saw. That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, and Sam Raimi was a weird choice. I mean,
yeah,
because all his movies are weird.
Yeah,
like Evil Dead and all that. It's awkward.
So, do you think they can make a third Incredible Hulk and it will make it?
No,
I
don't think they'll touch the Hulk.
No, you can't. The Hulk's tough.
He's he's like Superman. Like he can't be killed. He's one of the strongest characters in the universe. I mean, what are you going to do to make you feel like his life's in danger?
They're doing well.
Yeah.
By giving him enough cameos and enough movies to make him relevant, but at the same time, he doesn't need a full feature.
Okay, well now what about DC Comics? Did you like?
Oh, it's going to die off again.
Justice League.
They're horrible.
I like Justice League.
Justice League was awful.
I like Justice League.
All right.
I guess I can say it was cool because I didn't see Batman versus Superman. I guess I should have saw that first, but
it was awful too.
I know. When I first started watching, I couldn't get through it.
It's bad.
It was dark.
Justice League is worse.
No, Justice League. Here's the thing that they did with Justice League. Aquaman was cool.
Yeah, actually, when I saw that part, Aquaman, I was like, I thought it was going to make him this little cool. Weak cartoon like we grew up with.
No, he was cool, but I think.
But how you going to make a spinoff? I mean, Aquaman is coming out.
Yeah, they're going to do.
See that.
The Wonder Woman movie was pretty good.
See, here's the issue with DC. They depend so much on Zack Snyder's art style, which is horrible. Outside of a movie like 300. Like, even the second 300 was terrible. The only movie he did right was 300. And every single movie he's made since then looks like 300. And it doesn't work because even 300, if you watch it now, feels like a very confined movie. Like, it was filmed in an extremely small space because it was all shot on a sound studio.
Right.
Well, that's what they're doing with all these movies, where it's kind of hard to sell an entire city getting destroyed when you don't have parts of a real city anywhere. Like, that city in Russia was totally empty, minus two people. So they go there. Like, what do they have to save? So they give you one family to follow throughout the movie, and they have to go and save them. It's stupid. And their final bosses are weak because you don't care about them. They're hardly in the movie at all. And then they fight, you know, in an area the size of this table. So it's very, I don't know. It's not like an awesome spectacle like New York getting destroyed in the Avengers. Because what they did is they built a small portion of New York on a soundstage and then filled it in with real parts of New York.
Okay.
So it looks real. That's what the bigger studios do, but what they're doing with these DC things is they're just all green screen, and you just can't sell any form of reality like that.
So they're not going to come close to Marvel?
No. No, I think that universe dies off in the next 5 years or so.
Well,
Wonder Woman, maybe. Wonder Woman was the best one. I'll give you that.
Batman, they need to take the Batman into the Nightwing start.
Yeah.
And stuff. Because, A, Batman's always going to sell. I think what's his name? Christian Bale kind of left him hanging when he left.
Yeah.
I think he should have done what Robert Downey Jr. did, you know, and kind of just you know, use Batman for the money, and then that way you can go make whatever artistic crap you want to make after that.
Right.
But I think the thing DC has going for it that Marvel does not have going for it are the bad guys in DC are better than the bad guys in Marvel. Does that make sense? No one knows.
You thought Steppenwolf was a good bad guy?
Steppenwolf wasn't bad.
I think he was irritating.
Yeah,
but here's the thing.
Steppenwolf, a big CGI.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Steppenwolf was a stepping stone to Darkseid. Right? So now you can do a Superman versus Darkseid. You've got Joker in Leto. You've got Deadshot with Will Smith. I mean, the thing, the Suicide Squad was terrible, but it did introduce.
That's the worst one so far.
Right.
That movie was a dumpster fire.
But Leto was.
Batman versus Superman.
Leto was great. Margot Robbie was great as what's her name? And then Will Smith was great as Deadshot. And to me, that's at least three movies you could do with Batman right there just because of the bad guys. No one knows who Thanos was until this movie.
Yeah.
Unless you were a hardcore comic book guy.
But they got you so interested that you went and researched it.
Well, yeah.
I never Googled Steppenwolf because I didn't care.
Well, they don't introduce the bad guys.
Right. So
that's the problem. The problem is,
I think Marvel has started to figure that out, that all their bad guys are terrible. Because I think, you know, bringing in Peter Quill's dad, Ego, I felt like he was a good bad guy up until he kind of, for no reason, was like, hey, I killed your mom. You know, just for that to be a plot point.
Yeah.
But I liked his character development. I liked the character development in the new Spider-Man, where there was that controversy of it being his, you know, girlfriend's dad, kind of made it interesting. I feel like the bad guys are getting better.
But they're still unknown. The thing is a well-done Joker trumps any of those bad guys. Just because the Joker is the Joker. I mean, everyone knows who the Joker is.
And Heath Ledger ruined that one.
That's true.
Because I thought Leto was awful. I think he was trying too hard to be crazy, and it kind of came off as being fake.
Right.
Where?
No. Now, Margot Robbie was great.
Yeah, she did good. She was a good Harley Quinn.
And what's her name? Or what's his name? Will Smith did good as Deadshot. So
I always feel like Will Smith's just playing Will Smith.
Yeah, it is hard. You talk about a dude who's been in a lot of movies, but he's still typecasted as Uncle Phil's nephew.
I know, even in
Fresh Prince.
Yeah. What was that movie he did? It was, when he was the last person supposed to be on Earth.
I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
I didn't like, I never got into I Am Legend. He's made some great movies, though.
I walked out of that movie.
Really?
Hey, have y'all seen this meme? That's Will Smith. He's going to turn into Uncle Phil.
That is so wrong, man. That is so wrong.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's good stuff. Anyway.
Okay, so what do you... I'll shift it from movies back to the Hall of Fame. What you think about those guys who got selected for the Hall of Fame 2018 class?
Who all got selected? You have to fill me in.
Terrell Owens.
Terrell got in there.
I'm okay with that.
Ray Lewis.
Definitely.
Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, for sure.
Is Brian Dawkins the Eagle when he's an Eagle?
Dawkins, there's another receiver.
I thought it was just Randy.
Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Randy Moss.
That seems like a pretty solid class.
No, it's a great class.
I was like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm not familiar with Brian Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins was a stud.
Dang, Eagle. He's an Eagle.
He's
son.
A
you
stupid
know, you,
Eagle.
Cowboy fan. You don't care.
What time frame? Yeah, I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan. Who cares?
I think he was around doing it.
Around the time that, yeah, he probably started when Aikman and them were there. He probably left when Terrell Owens left. You know, as what's his name? Romo was coming in.
Gotcha.
And all that.
I'm watching ESPN.
Brian Dawkins is a legit Hall of Fame pick.
A lot of people's having. I'm sorry, not ESPN, NFL Network having problems with Urlacher. They say I don't think he was a first round ballot, but
Urlacher,
yeah, Urlacher was pretty.
Urlacher was a stud. Yeah. He were
dude destroyed people.
I'm just saying. It was a first round ballot.
The Tampa 2 worked in Chicago because he was a freak. My coach in college coached him as a GA at New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, the kid came in as a free safety. And then one summer came back from school and he was built like a linebacker. He's like, what do you think happened? I'm like, New Mexico? But, yeah, so, but the point being is he came in as a safety, so he was that type of athlete, and then he put on the muscle and was able to keep the speed and then take, you know, so essentially you had a big free safety playing middle linebacker who could cover so much ground. Because the thing about Urlacher is you couldn't throw that 15 to 20 yard in route. Mm-hmm. Because he could make up that ground. He could cover the run, bite the play action, and still drop back 15 yards fast enough to pick that ball off. You know what I mean? Yeah, which is what made it so hard. My issue is Terrell Owens should have been a first-round ballot guy.
But I understand it, but don't you think the league was taking out on him because he'd been so stupid and
what his off-field antics? What has he done wrong, though?
You could say the same thing about Ray Lewis. Though.
This man this man right here murdered somebody, right? This man right here has been arrested for various things. Terrell Owens was never arrested. He never failed the drug test.
And number two?
Never been arrested.
Number two on all those records.
You know what I mean? He was a great receiver. They just don't like the fact that he stood on a star and.
You can't stand on
you
a star.
You can't stand. I'm sorry.
He stood on the star.
And you know, that's the only thing that hurt me when Jerry brought him in. I was like, but he stood on the star.
But that's what I'm saying. He stood on the star.
He stood on the star.
He beat the crap out of Donovan McNabb, which I'm okay with. And he cried when people slammed Tony Romo. That's really.
That's his quarterback, man.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, that is really.
Like you said, that's my quarterback. Man.
But that's all he did. That's all he did.
Yeah, he's just a loudmouth. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So to keep him out, you know, because of that, when you're going to let these two guys get in first time, is a little hypocritical to me. You know what I mean? With everything going wrong in the league.
Yeah, I can't even.
I'm glad he got in, though, because from a statistics standpoint, hands down, should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best receivers ever.
I actually thought he probably would have made it. It probably would hold it for him forever, that he wouldn't get it even second round. I didn't think he was going to get it this time.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm glad he did, though, because, like I said, stupid good talent. May not like him, but he talked about coming back now.
How old is he?
Probably Brady age.
I was about to say, he's got to be like 40 or a little bit older.
Yeah. But
if you talk about Hall of Fame, what do you think the MLB going to do? Are they going to ever let Barry in? He never failed one. Are they going to let him in?
You know, that's
because even before he got the big head and started getting bigger and stuff, he still had the fastest swing.
No, the steroids aren't going to put the ball at bat on the ball. And I don't know, man. Steroids are. You want my opinion on steroids? Go watch Bigger, Stronger, Faster. You know what I mean? It's a documentary on steroids. Because I think you have, when it comes to steroids, you have too many extremes. You either have this extreme over here that thinks that you just inject them into your body and you turn into the Hulk and you're automatically a stud. You know what I mean? Where in reality, yes, they help you recover. Yes, they help you build muscle, but you still have to put in the diet and you still have to put in the work. They just exemplify.
Is that like a illegal drug here? I'm talking about you found a guy in a car pulled over with a suitcase full of.
I've never found steroids. Yeah.
I always wonder about that.
They're not legal. I don't think the FDA approves that. I mean, the steroids that people are using to get big, you know, aren't approved. The tests that you get from, like, a doctor because you have low testosterone is, but it works in a totally different fashion than the stuff that's coming, like, from China.
Okay.
But so it's illegal in the – yeah, it's illegal.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, but I don't know that – I don't know that there's – I don't even know if it's, like, discussed in state law or anything like that. I really don't
know. Well, they busted – we used to have a neighbor when we –
like, yeah, because I know you can get – I know it's illegal enough to where if you get caught selling it, you can get –
yeah, he got, okay. Now he okay. got busted. Yeah, I didn't know he that. Got hemmed up pretty good.
Yeah.
For it.
Because I know some nutrition shops that have been caught selling it, and they've come and just emptied them out.
Look, these dudes, it was like six of them, right? And they're all outside in like cargo shorts and no shirts and all that, you know, and and they're all, you know, super jacked, and, you know, you got all these, you know, Barbie dolls running around with them. And then it parked in front of this house. Now, granted, this is a rent house that I was renting. You know what I mean? Like, cheap rent house. and you've got this $50,000 boat and this $50,000, $60,000 car with Bentleys and Range Rovers always parked in the front yard in front of this $800, $900 a month rent house.
He's playing a stock market but trying to live, keep it still in the neighborhood.
So that's it. So ended up one time we actually came by and saw a news station, went home and found out that he got busted for dealing roids that he was actually making in the garage. So that's the stuff you don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the thing about steroids is there is a maintenance to them that if you don't maintain them correctly, that's when you end up with the man boobs and the the permanent issues.
Well, it's one of those it is one of those things where, and I don't know very much about it, but it's like once you start it, you have to stay on it once you get to a certain point because your body will quit producing it.
Yeah, you have to cycle on and cycle off and all that. And you have to take a ton of supplements with it because it's terrible on your kidneys. It's terrible on your liver. So you're probably spending for a cycle, depending on the cycle, anywhere from $400 to $500 on the cheap end. You may be able to get in a little less than that, but
that's like monthly, right? $400 to $500 a month.
A cycle is I think 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But still, you're looking at $500 every 6 weeks.
Jeez.
Good.
You have to take it on one way and come off of it. So you gotta taper it on, taper it off. But you probably end up spending another $200 to $400 worth of supplements. If you're gonna do it, this is doing it right. This, you know what I mean? This is taking the supplements that protect your kidneys and you want to protect you want to block your estrogen. Cause what you don't want is you don't want to boost your testosterone up. Because what that'll do is your body will say, oh crap, so much testosterone, I'm going to boost up this estrogen. And then you don't have the testosterone going into your body, but you got an elevated level of testosterone.
Is that when you have roid rage?
Oh, roid rage. No, roid rage is, steroids are like any, like alcohol. Like your personality is going to be, so if you have mental issues, if you have a quick temper or something like that, they're just going to exemplify it. You know what I mean? Mm. But you have to take estrogen blockers because if you come off testosterone or steroids and your testosterone is not that high, but your estrogen still is sitting up there real high, then that's when you got dudes crying all the time. You know what I mean? It's just their hormones are, it'll just jack your hormones up.
Yeah.
Like personally, I don't get why people take it just to take it.
You think all the buff guys in Hollywood do steroids?
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah. Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, guarantee. Mm. I guarantee.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
No, the Dude, Rock. That guy's gotten jacked.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got massive.
Dude, The Rock, all of them, they're all on steroids. You know, but the thing is that's the other end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is you do have to work out and you do have to eat right for them to actually work. They just help it work faster, right? So then you have the other side of the spectrum where guys are like, oh, steroids just do 10% of the work. You know what I mean? And there's no middle ground. You know what I mean? There is a middle ground that says steroids, you have to put in the work, you have to put in the diet, but I got there 10 times faster than I would if I hadn't been using them, if I'd been natural. Does that make sense? And that's where the middle of the road is they are beneficial, but you do have to put in the work, and you can't discount it to either side.
Yeah, We actually had a decent sized bust whenever I was in the military and we were deployed. People were buying steroids.
Oh, wow.
And no, there were guys like I went into my second deployment at about 150 pounds, and there were guys that went in with me at 150 pounds, and they went to this company, a different company than mine, where this whole steroid thing was going on, and the guy came out pushing 200 like in a year. And I mean, he was massive. Yeah. Like his neck like molded into his shoulders, just huge. And I was like, that is so weird. Like
I know.
Like, because I was there working out two times a day too, because you have nothing to do.
Yeah, right.
It's like it's pretty much a prison camp. You're just stuck on post, and you can only move so far.
Yep.
And you would just go to the gym, come back, wait to see if you got called out on a QRF mission, and if you didn't, then you went back once your body you felt like you could do it again. And I was just doing 2-a-days the whole year, and I got up to 165 naturally, but it was like a solid 165. And I mean, some of these guys, I mean, we're putting on 40, 50 pounds in a year.
And that's all it is. That's all it is. And, and the thing is, they lost it too. As soon as they got up the roids, they end up losing it.
Yeah.
Because, and it's not because, It's just mainly because your body can't keep up with what type of testosterone, that much testosterone that requires you to get to that size. Now, could they weigh 200 potentially? Absolutely, but it might take them 5 years to get there. That's all the steroids really do is they just kind of.
I find if you just eat and drink whatever you want, you can get there pretty fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know it.
I can't. I finally hit 200, and no matter how much I work out, it seems like I can't get back below 200.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy because you're right, being unemployed, I was like, you need to work out and eat.
Yeah. I graduated basic training at 140. Uh-huh. From the time I went on my first deployment to my second deployment, I got up to about 160. And then whenever I came back, I was in between like 165, 175. And that's kind of been my – I think if I worked out all the time and did a ton of cardio, I might – I don't think I could get back down to 175. I could probably get back down to like 180. But, yeah, putting on weight I find is a lot easier now than it used to be.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, I'm trying intermittent fasting for the second time. We'll see how that goes.
Man.
Yeah. But speaking of military time, you miss it? Because I miss the people. I don't have to say I miss the.
So I think if I lived in an alternate universe where I never got married, I would miss it.
Yeah.
But I don't miss it. I'd rather be here watching my girls play softball mm-hmm. and hanging out with my friends. Because, I mean, it's so weird, that mental state that you're in the entire time you're in the military, especially in the infantry. Because, I mean, you're just broken down to pretty much the whole, like, kill or be killed mindset. And it takes a while to get out of that. I think that's why a lot of guys have issues when they get out. Because, you know, life gets a lot more – it gets harder and simpler at the same time. They don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
But no, I do miss it sometimes because I see, like, my friends that are still in that are, mm-hmm. like, starting to make, like, first sergeant, sergeant major and all that stuff because they're getting up there to, like, 15 years now.
Yeah.
And – yeah, I'm like, man, it'd be nice to be there now. But the pay was terrible. The housing was terrible. Military towns that aren't like Air Force bases, like most Army towns, are horrible. Yeah. So I don't miss. And I also don't miss working for people that I felt were fairly unintelligent. Because there's a slew of them.
Oh, yeah, because
they need numbers.
Yeah, because you know, like, you could be, you know, like yourself, you can, you know, try to make rank.
Yeah.
But you got that person who all they do is concentrate. Don't do their jobs.
Yeah.
Because the Air Force don't do their jobs, but they make rank so fast, and then you find out that idiot is your boss.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're like, why am I listening to you when I know I know more than you?
Yeah. No, and that's, I mean, it was a pretty common occurrence. Like, sometimes, this is the best explanation I've ever heard for being in the military, and I'm probably going to screw it all up, but it's like, actually, I don't want to screw it up. Let me find it right quick. It's hilarious, but it's literally the perfect explanation.
Yeah, but just like you say, I miss a lot. I miss a lot of my kids, you know, family and stuff. Being out there deployed, you know, I love what I did. You know, I love this country to death, and I would do it again. But you lose a lot. You lose a lot when you're over there. And like you said earlier, your mindset changed so much because you do feel institutionalized after being there for a year.
Oh, for sure, you know? For sure. So this is the military branches explained. The Army, Navy, and Marines are all brothers in a family. Army is the oldest, and Mom and Dad made their parenting mistakes with him. The Navy is the middle son. They're the explorers who left home and no one cared. The Marines are the youngest, who Mom and Dad let do whatever they want and still have an inferiority complex due to their small size. Well, Mom and Dad got divorced once all the boys were grown. Mom got remarried to a rich guy and quickly gave birth to a fourth son in the Air Force.
Woo!
Now she loves him the most, showers him with the best toys, and buys him whatever he wants. When they go on vacation, they fly first class, stay in five-star hotels, and enjoy the finest meals. The Air Force is spoiled, rotten, and the three older brothers have bitter resentment towards him for this.
Sound right.
Finally, there's the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard is the rich stepdad's son from his first marriage, and none of the other brothers think or act like he's part of the family.
Yeah. That's, oh, my God.
To me, that's the best way to explain it.
But I know when I was over there, Air Force, I always went and looked for you guys because I thought you guys were the coolest of us. Because you guys knew it was real. You went out there and, you know, you did it. Yeah, they issued us guns and all that stuff. We never picked them things up. And my thing was always saying, if you expect me to pick up a gun and defend this base, we're in trouble.
No, we slept with ours. Yeah, joke was that it replaces your girlfriend when you're deployed. It's funny.
I'm talking because you guys kept real. I remember going into black. You know, we get attacked. You go into black. You guys are calm and cool. You know, Air Force guys, you know, they keep us in a hole in our chem gear forever. And I see you guys walking out. I'm like, this is some bull.
Yeah.
And you guys looking in around the T-Bears and go like,
we used to have this. Yeah, we used to have the siren go off for like incoming mortars and stuff. Yeah. And we would walk outside to go see where they hit. Like at that point, it's like, you know, even if you're inside that building, that roof's coming down on your head. Yeah. So it's like, go outside and enjoy it if it's coming. No, but yeah, that mentality. There was another joke. I actually think I read the wrong one, but it was pretty much like to explain it. Pretty much, your entire company's sitting in front of this huge bowl of soup, and the first sergeant comes up and says, "Hey, hand out forks so we can eat this soup." And you look at each other and you're like, "Why don't we just use spoons?" And then somebody else recommends using a hammer, and you just look at him and you're like, "Why don't we just use spoons?" And then another guy comes up with a rake, and he's like, "And finally, you just take the rake and start crying while you eat your soup." Like, that's pretty much how it works. Like, you wonder where these decisions come from, because like me at 18, I'm like, "No, that doesn't seem right."
Yep.
But I don't know. Maybe it's all for a reason, and it all works out the way it's supposed to. But nah, I miss it sometimes, and sometimes I don't. I don't think I'd be as well off if I was still in, and I definitely wouldn't have my business, you know, up and running. So police work is close enough. I don't have to do
it. Oh, yeah.
It keeps me from, well, up until recently, it kept me from having to man a desk. So.
Did y'all see this? Woman says she flushed her hamster down the airport toilet because Spirit staff told her to.
Oh, so whenever I was first reading that, I thought it said because her Spirit staff told her to.
Oh.
Which actually made a lot more sense. Like, oh, she's crazy.
No, Spirit Airlines told her she could not travel with this. It's called a coping hamster.
Oh, jeez.
Like, apparently
it's a comfort animal.
I'm just going to say.
Yeah, don't get me started on comfort animals.
You can bring these, the hamster, you know, so that's kind of drastic, man.
I'm having a hard time believing it, but I don't know anymore.
I'm okay with it.
She looks like the type of lady that would have. Now, check this one. This lady wanted to bring her emotional support peacock on the plane and was denied access to the airport.
Yeah, good for them.
What?
But no. First off,
what is going on with?
I'm siding with the airline. Most of the time, I'm against the airline. You know what I mean? Because I hate the airlines. You know what I mean? Because they're charging us more for tickets and they're sticking us on smaller planes with more seats. And being a big dude like I am, you know, and you have that jerk, you know, whatever. So I'm always anti-airline whenever I can be. But I'm telling you right now, we would have issues if I got on a plane and this lady was sitting in the plane with me with that bird.
Dude, but you're seeing them everywhere now. I go into stores and I go like, you know, I see a lady carrying a dog and I'm like, is that, is that like a military dog or some kind of, or helpful dog or something? But no, it's a toy dog and they don't care.
Wait,
but
it's toy
comfort.
Dog?
No, it was comfort because it was a comfort. No, you know how they call them little purse dogs or whatever.
Is it wrong for me to assume that this lady was probably flying out of California?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I know.
What?
That is a good question. But
let's take bets on that.
Look at her socks, man. I mean, look at this lady.
Yeah.
First off, I hate those people who grab these carts.
Okay.
Look, you know what I mean?
I'm just saying, no one stopped her when she was walking,
No, they stopped her.
She got out of the car and walked that far.
No,
she made it that far.
She did it. But then she went to security. Security's like, you can't bring that on. So she left. Peacock, although she did have seated denied boarding, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. What did it say? Newark?
Newark International Airport.
Jersey.
Yeah. That's almost enough. Yeah. That's the same, just polar opposite side of the other side of the country.
California, the east side.
Now, what's your opinion of comfort animals? I know I have mine.
I know I have mine.
I didn't even know they existed until this hamster story.
Well, a lot of them have been called. Well, they were called just service animals or service dogs, but now they're having to correct that because a service dog actually has qualifications and certifications it has to get, and these guys that are just walking around with their sad dogs, they're called comfort animals.
Now. So they're not the same as a service dog?
No.
See,
I can take my dog tomorrow, go online and pay like $25 and register it as a comfort animal. I think that's how it works. There's no certifications or classes.
They're pretty much there just to make you feel happy about yourself.
You know, it used to be like you never saw a service animal unless the first time I ever saw a service animal was with a blind woman.
Yeah, that's considered a service.
But it was very rare. Now I see them a little more often because you have them for the supposedly for the guys with PTSD.
Oh, jeez, don't get me started.
Whatever. You know what I mean?
Same idea. Yeah.
But even then, it's rare.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's actually pretty common now, especially in the veteran community, which I think is. I don't know.
It's getting there.
Yeah, I think it's just a sad fad that's kind of going around.
Andy Shump hates the term. Andy Shump was a Navy SEAL that he got shot in the hip, and now he breaks speed records in those squirrel suits, jumping out of planes and all that, off cliffs and all that. So pretty cool dude. But anyway, he hates the phrase PTSD because it ultimately kind of gives you a disorder, which kind of, and I don't have it, so I don't know. But it gives you a disorder that almost makes it where they don't expect you to cope with it. Does that make sense? By calling it a disorder, you know, when you call someone has a disorder, it's like, you know, I can't, you know, there's some things that you just can't help. You know what I mean?
Like it's something that's not going away. You just have to deal with
it. Right. Well, not even that. It's something.
Or you can't deal with it.
Yeah, you can't deal with it. It's a disorder that you can't deal with, therefore.
I think it's no different than like a drug addiction.
Yeah.
If I'm going to keep giving you money because I feel sorry for you, you're going to keep doing drugs.
Yeah.
Well, I think people like to milk this emotional support that they get, like these veterans that can't, you know.
And I think that's where
do anything when they get
from.
Out. Yeah.
He's coming from like now you're giving people an excuse not to work on.
And see, that's the same way I feel about it because I always thought veterans, you know, being one, is that. If I'm going to sit there and talk about that I was a veteran all the time, I'm wanting people to give me stuff for it. But if you keep quiet about it,
you
never know you're a veteran unless you see your haircut like yours. You keep it the same.
Right. Well, like the guys that get out and think the whole PTSD thing is way overplayed.
Yeah.
Like the running joke is, you know, the whole thank you for your service thing. Like we tell each other, thank you for your service. Anytime we mention the military, just messing around.
Yeah.
But like the comfort animal thing, to me, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you cannot survive not being around your dog for 5 minutes while you go and grab lunch, you need to be institutionalized.
Yes, you're
a danger to yourself or you're a danger to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to be mean, but I don't think it's reasonable to believe that there are so many people that can't cope with their experience in Iraq. How many World War II veterans are walking around with dogs with vests on?
Oh, God, in Vietnam.
There's not many of them left, but the ones that are, how many did?
Yeah.
How many? And then Vietnam guys, I think, are a little bit more closely related to us in the fact that the war was a little bit more controversial. But, I mean, how many of those guys are walking around with dogs?
Yeah.
It's almost like a bad joke to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the comfort animal thing. I hate the videos of, you know, people getting fights over them in restaurants. Your dog shouldn't go into a restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't even like having my dog in my house because it gets hair all over the place.
Yeah,
if I'm going there to eat in a clean environment that an owner is paying people to keep that environment clean, get your dog out of there. Leave it home. Leave it in the car with windows cracked. Like, if you can't survive without that dog, Postmates, Uber Eats. Like, stay at home with the dog. Don't bring it into my environment that I'm paying, you know, to eat in a clean environment and eat some good food. Like, and don't go crazy like that lady screaming about it.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I mean, I don't think dogs are a cure for post-traumatic stress disorder.
No.
I don't even think they're a coping mechanism. I think they provide companionship in the same way a dog that's not qualified to do anything does.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going to go pay $25 for my dog to be a comfort animal, but it provides comfort. You know, it's something to pet and give you companionship. But
exactly.
And maybe that's part of the fix, but at the same time, if you can't walk away from that for 30 minutes to go do something, if you think you're going to have a mental breakdown separating yourself from that dog for an hour while you go and watch a movie or do whatever, you need to seek a higher form of help.
Amen, brother. I'm just saying because, yes, there are things over there that probably no people should see all the time, you know, when you're in that war environment.
Right.
And you know, your body – I know when I got back, you know, seeing death and stuff, you say, you know, seeing coffins drink with the flag and stuff. You get emotional and stuff, but it was like, when I back home, I was like, okay, I'm back home. You know, at one time, I loved deploying. It was like a thing. It was like a drug. I just wanted to get back over there since I got back in the
States. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I could go back right now.
It's just like, you know, everything is straight, but it just drives me crazy when those veterans. You know, I'm one, and I ain't trying to speak ill of us, you know, because there's way different things. But when you just sit there and it seems like you want everything now just to give you something, you want to feel, oh, I need this doctor to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And, you know, I'm a veteran. You know, why are you talking to me like that? Yeah. So it's just,
and then they tell you, hey, don't touch my dog.
Yeah.
It's a service dog. No, it's not.
No,
it's not. It's a comfort animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's aggravating. It's aggravating. Yeah. And I know a lot of my buddies that I served with, it's been aggravating for us. It's almost like we came from a different class than the ones that are coming out now.
Yeah.
We didn't go in there looking to come out with this overwhelming amount of sympathy. We weren't looking for free dogs.
Nope.
We weren't looking for free, we weren't looking for free school loans or anything like that. The GI Bill didn't play into our decision. We went over there to fight.
Exactly.
And then whenever we were done with it, we got out.
Yep.
And we just continued on with our life. To me, all the military gave me was a good work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And a sense of loyalty and integrity and all those values that, you know, those cheesy values they put on the dog tag and force you to wear. That's what I got out of it. I didn't come back with any mental health issues. I mean, for the most part. But not to the point where I feel like I'm going to die if I don't have my dog for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It, you know, maybe it is that it's there for some guys. I just don't think it's as widespread as we like to believe.
I know,
because you know they just debunked the 22 thing. Have you read that?
Mm-mm.
They were going off of some old statistic that was over a wide period of time, and somehow they made the mistake of narrowing it down to a month. So they said 22 soldiers are dying every day, when really it's like, I want to say it's like 0.2 or something like that. It's still a lot, but it's not 22 a day. Yep. I think at 22 a day, there's almost a point where by attrition, there wouldn't be anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's still a good, I mean, it's good to try and reach out and help the veteran community, but I think coddling them and throwing dogs at them probably isn't the way to do it.
No, because we was never taught like that, you know, and then you get out and it is totally changing. And you said that maybe it's a different time and stuff. I believe it is, because now everybody there, you know, when you get back from deployment, you got to go see the doctor. You know, they tell you there's something wrong with you. And you're like, there's nothing wrong with me. When I got back and he asked me, he was like, so how was it? I said, it was fine. Well, what happened? Well, he said, did you see any like deaths and stuff? I saw people die all the time. I saw blood. Yeah. I saw, you know, I saw soldiers.
In the Air
Force? Well, Army come in, because I worked in with an airplane. So the bodies came in constantly. I was in a helicopter pad.
Right.
So you're like,
yeah.
You know, I was like, so I said, yeah, I saw it. He's like, so you're okay with it? I was like, you get used to it. And he was like, oh, there's something wrong with you. I was like, no, your body, I coped with it. You know, it's like you can only cry and feel sad for so many times with that person.
Tick tock.
No, because it would already happen. I believe, like you said, though, that
it would already happen.
It
would have happened on that bomb at LAX. That's when it would have happened.
Whatever. I just got a short temper. I got a short temper.
Beating up bombs?
No,
let me tell you what happened. We're getting gas.
Don't exaggerate this. I'm listening.
I'm going to tell you 100% the truth.
Exaggerate.
We're getting gas at LAX in the rental car. And I think we weren't even going to the airport. We were just getting gas the night before, because we had an early flight. And this bum asked Mike for some money. And
don't carry cash. Just been us.
And so he's like, no, I don't have any cash. I'm not going to give you money. So the guy's like, okay, whatever. You know, kind of moves on. Anyway, this female bum walks up to Mike and asks him for a sandwich. So Mike goes in, buys a lady a sandwich and a salad.
And the salad?
Like, no, he's like,
you buy her a four-course meal in a gas station?
He did. Hey, and here's the thing. That the line was like 6-7 people long. Because I had to go in and get, because I had issues with the credit card. So I had to go in and I'm like, man, this line's huge. And so I get through and buy my gas and turn around and he's waiting in line. I'm like, what are you doing, man? We're about to go eat. He's like, I'm getting it for the lady outside. I said, but I asked him, I said, but you wouldn't give that guy any money?
No.
And he goes, he didn't ask for no food.
But that's it. Don't come ask me for any money that I know you do. But if someone asks me for food, I'm going to give it to him.
So anyway, I'm outside pumping gas. Mike walks outside with this bag full of food.
Oh, my God. Dude, it was a sandwich and banana.
It was more than that. Then he hands this bag of food to this lady in front of this bum who asked him for the money. And the guy starts cussing Mike out, right? And so we get in the car, and Mike's, you know, Mike's steaming hot. Dude rolls. He's on a bike, so he rolls his car around the front. and flips Mike off before he jumps into the, because all he's going to do is go across this four-lane road to this Denny's to try and peddle money over there. But as we're pulling out, all Mike's saying is like, run him over, man. Run him over. Take him out.
That's what telling this police officer, okay?
The only thing that kept that bum alive was the fact that I was driving the car. Because I guarantee if Mike was driving that car, I'd been accessory to murder at the time because he was dead set on knocking that dude out.
Hey, you would have got away with it, too. You'd been on a flight to Oklahoma in like a couple hours.
My whole thing was, dude, you know, I done gave money to, like, people, you know, like, 23rd and, you know, X and Alpha, you know, 235 and 23rd. And I gave this guy some money. I felt the spirit, the heart, and he jerked the $5 out of my hand and said, that's it? That's all you giving me? You're basically you giving me. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing it no more. But somebody, asked me for some food. It's like, man, she asked for food, not money. I was like, hey, I give it to her.
Hey, man, I kind of understand where the bum's coming from, though, man.
Cause you a bum?
No, I'm sitting in his shoes, man. I mean, it's kind of
he was hungry, and
kind of a jerk move to like say no to him. But
if you ask me,
he bought that lady a sandwich, some Cheetos, one of those individually wrapped cheesecakes.
That's what I was saying, man. Like he should have bought two of everything. And when he said, "Say, hey, man, I don't have any cash, but I got you a sandwich."
I like to picture you were looking at him, taking a fork and feeding it to her.
That might be the next LA trip. Now you have me looking for a bum in LA. Like I need to repay this debt.
Oh,
jeez, you guys.
Anyway, all right, man. Let's wrap this one up.
All right. Well, you got to mention Corey Business now. You know, Corey got some great t-shirts.
What's the way? TheGuardianTees.com.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Is that what we're doing?
Is that it? GuardianTees.com.
Yeah.
You got a new line coming out, or you got a bang on the horizon?
We just put up some new police shirts. Most of them are kind of they're either generally like for police support. So we have some Oklahoma stuff on there, and there's like if you're a good gun-toting American, we got some stuff for you too. But it's mostly patriotic type apparel.
Okay.
So, yep, GuardianTees.com.
Sounds good.
Also, check out DoChain.com, or if you're nasty, do top of the DoChain.com. Scroll down the bottom. Look at all the social media icons, and click those bad boys for us. And what happened there? Oh, it doesn't take the picture the cool way. Anyway, click those social medias, check us out, and do us a solid, man. Like us on the Facebook and the YouTubes. Follow us on the Instagram and then share it with your friends just to get the word out. We're in England as well now.
Oh, we're in England now?
A couple listeners in England.
Oh, snap.
Maybe not after last week when I talked about Putin in front of the Queen.
Yeah, were you making fun of Brexit?
No, that's a whole other story, man.
Oh, don't get him started.
Yeah, we could go down that. I honestly went way too deep down the rabbit hole this week.
Was this one of your solo missions?
What? The podcast I did. And I'm talking, yeah. I just went down the rabbit hole way too much this week. But the podcast I talked about the memo that was released.
That basically
showed that the election was trying to be rigged. But anyway, I went further down that rabbit hole, and it's pretty infuriating. We can talk about it later on, but in a different podcast. But
got more enemies now.
Yeah, I'll just say this. What I thought was reality about 6 months ago, complete 180 now.
You're a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
Conspiracy theorist was the phrase was coined in 1967 by the CIA. If you know anything about history, in 1967, Lyndon B. Johnson was being criticized for two things.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
The assassination of Kennedy and what was it, the Gulf of Turkonkin or whatever. where supposedly Vietnam War started, where supposedly we got shot at by the Vietnam people, when in reality we started the, we did it to ourselves to justify going in. Anyway, he was being accused of these things. So the CIA gave him this phrase, conspiracy theory, to deflect any type of tough question. So someone asked him, hey, did you have anything to do with Kennedy's assassination? And, oh, that's nothing but a conspiracy theory. So I think there's some truth to it. The flat earth stuff.
I think you keep saying conspiracy theory is a conspiracy theory.
No, that's what I'm saying. Now, the flat earth stuff I don't believe in. You know, I think that's stupid. But I do think there are things that they're doing in the shadows that...
We didn't land on the moon, by the way.
Oh, no. I know we just put a Tesla in space.
Yeah. Oh, we landed on the moon. You can see the box on the moon with a telescope that reflects the light.
Are you going to see the Tesla? Did you see a Tesla circle?
Tesla was cool. Hey, and that Falcon rocket landing like that was ridiculously cool.
What, the two landing at the same time?
Yeah.
The thrusters? Yeah.
The whole thing landed. Like, they're going to be able to reuse that rocket ship.
That's crazy.
To do whatever they do.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty soon you'll be in space.
Yep. All right, guys.
Corey be in space with a badge.
Yep.
Top of the dudechain.com.